Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And it will be a happy one, no matter what the prognosticators say. Many thought the other day when the stock market did a huge crash, I immediately prophesied and said the opposite. And the next day, the market went back up, even more so. What God hath begun, He always finishes.
Amen.
Unlike us, we often begin, but we don't finish the race. We don't complete everything that God has in mind. This year we're going to be reading from the book of John. I've preached on John before. But John, I prayed about what I should share this year. I expect this congregation to grow. And growth is the Lord. The Lord knows how to make something flourish and grow. But I expect Him to do that because, you know, with God, there's no small churches where two or three are gathered. That to Him is huge. In His name, there He is in the midst of them. And so there's no small agenda for us Christians. We're the light. We're the salt. And because of that, the light, this world needs that light. And God is rearranging the world right now. The Jew that believes in God, we often call them messianic Jews. They actually believe. And you'll see more and more of that as the Lord is separating the sheep from the goats, from the whore from the bride, and so on and so forth. And so in the church, we see the lukewarm church, but we also see more and more churches will be hot. That is, they'll be passionate about the Lord to go all the way with Jesus. That's a hard message, but as a Christian, we don't say it's hard or easy. We just say, whatever God preaches, we have to preach. We have to say those words. And because we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word that comes out of His mouth, it's a kissing mouth where mercy kisses our sin and destroys it, abolishes it. And so God is wanting us to preach the whole word of God, not leave out any part. And John, of all the Gospels, John is the one that's not speaking to the Jews as Matthew speaks to the Jewish people, not speaking to the Romans as the power and government and so on, which Mark does, and not speaking to the mind, which Luke does, the Greek-speaking world, the mental world. But he's speaking to the heart. And everything in the book of John, I'm just going to do the 14th chapter today because it has a special message to it. But the whole book of John is summed up in one word. John wrote that book so that every Christian would become a believer. Now, you cannot make yourself believe. Faith does not come by believing. Faith does not come by believing. It comes by hearing the Word of God. When you hear the Word of God, then God works the faith. And so it's a gift. It's not an achievement. I wish I would have more faith. No, you can pray that prayer, but actually only God can work faith in every man's heart. But you do it by hearing the Word of God. You do it by just hearing the objective from heaven, outside of yourself, external word, without any rhema, without any additions or anything. Sometimes it happens, but that's not His purpose. His purpose is just read it. And if you read it, you read something that says, the earth will be filled with the glory of God. When you read that, you say, if that be true, then I should say and do these things. You don't have to believe it, just say it. And as you speak it, whatever God has said in the Bible, you use the word and then if then it. That's a way of doing law. If this happens, then this will be the result. But it's also the way of using the gospel. Whatever God says about you, it's a description. It's not a proscription or prescription. It's not something to avoid or to do. You don't do anything. You don't do anything. Because if you did, it would be called a good work, which is actually evil in God's sight. Because man cannot understand good and evil. Eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a humanist agenda, but it's not the gospel's agenda. It's not the gospel. It's not the gospel at all. There's no good news in that. So when God speaks a word, He's the only one that can make it work. He's the only one that can cause you to then do good works, but by faith, without seeing it, without doing the works of the law. Because by faith, you're actually acting according to an unseen world. God is unseen. No one can see God. No one has ever seen God. No one has ever seen God. But someday you will. And you saw Jesus on the earth and we killed him. Anything you don't understand, kill. If you can't understand it, you don't want to deal with it because it's irrelevant to you. But this word is so alive, so powerful, and it works. It works, and you don't have to believe that. Just simply read it. Just listen to that word, because it'll change your life forever. And you can be against God and do all kinds of crazy things, but God sees there's a difference between your heart and your soul. There it is on the board up there, relationship versus religion. Relationship is the true religion. Religion, it's false. All religion, they're always built on laws, rules, rituals. There's something external, something you can see. But in the kingdom of God is within you. It's not out there. It's not observable. You can't see it with the eye. So God cannot be seen. Jesus cannot be seen. The Holy Spirit cannot be seen. They're all spiritual. But you also are spiritual. That's why you're the temple, the spiritual temple of the Holy Spirit. And that temple is being built up by God in your life so that you might be something you're not. That you might be something you used to be, but you're no longer what you used to be. Every time the word goes out, every time, there's always a blessing. Every time the word goes out, it goes out deliberately to rescue another, to rescue someone else from being themselves. You have to give up your life. You have to take up your cross daily. I want to talk about that today. But you have to give up your life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. 14:6. And I'll be speaking about that today. But what God wants is to transform you, not just to inform you, but to transform you by describing the new man in Christ. Everybody here is a new man in Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. Everybody here. Because that affected when he died, it was a testamentary promise, covenant. And when he died, immediately it went into effect. The moment he died, the nanosecond that he died, the temple was torn in two. The curtain that lay between the holy place and the Holy of Holies, that was torn in two, and the high priest that day that he died, exactly at that moment, he was in the temple and he saw it with his own eyes. And it was torn from top to bottom, meaning God did it. And he was staggered because that curtain was very, very thick. Some say it was a foot thick. It was huge. And it had, there's no ladder tall enough to reach it. It's very high up. And he just saw it ripped in two, just like that. And he knew, uh-oh, probate has been done. This promise has suddenly come to pass because it's testamentary. It's based on blood. And so the blood of Jesus is the foundation, the cornerstone, that which you build your whole faith on. We call it chair four. But that foundation, you have to build on it because you can't. Did you know you can't do it? You'll build wood, hay, and stubble, but you actually can't build with precious stones something everlasting. But God is building on you a holy life. How many know you will be holy someday? You're holy today. But someday you'll see it with your own eyes. With your own eyes. In Job, we read that he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he already saw in the future by faith, he already saw. He said, I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now I've seen thee with the seeing of the eye. In other words, God came down. And in that, you cannot say, God, come down, and then expect him to come down. Because you never know his timing on anything. And so you can say, come down, as Job did. He said, God, I wish you'd be like a man. Just come down here face to face. I'd like to defend my integrity. I believe my friends are wrong. I believe if you just come down, I'd talk with you. I'd argue this thing out, man to man. That was Jesus. And when he came down in a whirlwind, he suddenly heard God say, let me ask you a question of questions. Where were you when I made the snowflake? I wasn't there. What about the hippopotamus? How about the giraffe? I mean, where were you when I hooked Leviathan with a hook? I wasn't there. And he put his hand over his mouth and said, uh-oh, I asked God to come down and he's asking me questions I cannot answer. In fact, I don't have anything to say. I'm going to shut my mouth from now on because God hath made me silent. How many of you would believe that would be a blessing in your life? Amen. If you would stop talking and listen to God, that would be a great blessing. But we always want to use God, you know, exploit him and try to get him to do stuff. But God, he's good enough. He really doesn't need your encouragement on that. He always loves you. He's always loved you. He will always love you. In fact, he always loves everybody that he ever created. There's not a person that could go to hell that God didn't love with an unconditional love. He did not create the world so that he could destroy it. He created it and wrote his name on every single person when you're conceived in the womb and said, this one's mine. This one belongs to me. No emperor, no pope, nobody can be over this person. Take a place. You cannot interpose yourself. Jesus Christ will be the mediator between God and man. So you only have one mediator and he's on your side. You only have one mediator, and he's totally on your side. Wow, that's good news to know that God, who created the heavens and the earth, the natural heavens and the earth, not heaven of heavens, but those natural heavens and natural earth, he created that for your happiness. Happiness is what Christianity is all about. Are you happy?
Yes.
Now, are you happy because you got a new job? Are you happy because everything's going your way? Or are you happy because of heaven has forgiven your sins?
Amen.
You see, no one is happy about that. No one wants that unless you're before the judge. And then all of a sudden you think, well, I should have attended to that. Because he's already decided and his death already paid for it. So you don't have to then say, God, give me faith. Just read it. Faith cometh by hearing. So when you hear the word of the Lord, He's already done everything. He created the world without you. He can justify you without you. He can sanctify you without you. He can perfect you without you. He can do everything he wants to do because he's God. Did you know he exalts his word? He then exalts himself or magnifies himself above his name. In other words, his name wouldn't be anything without the word that you could read objectively, externally, and get good news out of it. Amen. It's written for people. It's not written for elephants. It's not written for frogs. This is written for people. So you can read the word. Without the word, if God hadn't revealed himself, you wouldn't know anything. You'd only have your will and your mind and your emotions and your behavior. That's all you'd have. And that's not good enough to cause you to laugh and sing and praise and suffer and be of good cheer. How many of God wants that for you every day? No psychology here. Psychology is witchcraft, period. So I don't believe in psychology, never believed in it, because I have the Word. And the Word sets me free. That truth sets me free. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So you have eternal life, and it's promised. It's not something you inherit. It's not something you can get. It's just something that God wants to give you, and he already promised it. And God always finishes whatever he starts. If he starts something, he always finishes that. So I know a lot of things have happened over the years, and you might think we used to have more members and so on and so forth. I wouldn't worry about that. Just make sure you know the truth about God. Don't worry about people being added and so on. God can add them every day, all the time. What God wants you to do is realize your only happiness is Jesus, period, over, out. The only happiness you have is knowing that Jesus has forgiven all your sins. That's the foundation. And God builds on that foundation and then causes you to be holy. He doesn't wait for you to be holy, because you're not going to be holy. Your only holiness, and he imputes this to you on the foundation, he just imputes to you Jesus' righteousness, and then imputes to Jesus your sin. So it's a trade. It's kind of an exchange. I'll give you my sin. Could you give me your righteousness? Good deal, Jesus says. I'll be happy to do that. I want you to be righteous. And he's causing that. He actually causes that. And he causes it with Israel as well. You think today the Israelis are anti-Christian? No, they're not. They're actually for us. Not only the Messianics, all of them. They all know something you don't know they know. That is, there is a God, and you need to honor him. Amen. So he gave them a law so they realized they couldn't keep it. So he gave them a law so that they realized they couldn't keep it. He gave them a law, be ye perfect, be ye holy, be ye righteous, and so on. And all of that, nobody's ever done it, ever. Nor will you ever, in all eternity, you still won't do good works. The only good works you can do is not. The only good works you can do is just be yourself, because you always are yourself. Did you know you're always yourself? Because you're yourself. I mean, it's funny, but, you know, be yourself. But you are yourself. A wicked person, a nasty person, without Jesus. But with Jesus, it's gone. Forgiveness is the only thing this world needs. That's the foundation that God builds upon. And once you get that, chair 5 is a piece of cake. Because that's when you're being tested. That's when you see if that faith works. And how does it work? How does that work, that you now have faith in Jesus? If you read it in the Bible, just ask these questions. If that's true, then I should say and do these things. Because everything in this world, you need to see it. You need to experiment with it. But everything in heaven, unseen. You can't see it. Nobody's ever seen God. But you will someday. God wants you to be His beloved in heaven. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so God has arranged everything. So the Bible is not for you. It's for you to realize you're not God. That's all you need to realize. If you realize you're dependent upon Him for every breath you take, for every emotion you have, for everything, you depend upon Him for everything, but He corrects it through His Word. He corrects it through His Word. Once you speak the Word and then act upon it, He'll multiply it. He will immediately multiply it. So if you've been, let's say, without fruit in your life, you know, you haven't, you've done a few things, but you haven't done as much as you intended. Don't even think about that. Forget all that. Jesus already died for you. You don't have to die now. There's no more death. The law of sin and death is gone for us Christians. But we need to be the light and the salt for the rest of the world to see. They don't see it. You know, when they really see it, David, you'll appreciate this. When they really see it, it's when you're suffering and you're happy. When they really see a Christian going through hell and laughing, turning their back on the problem, God will take care of that. And then laughing and saying, because in the world you have trouble. How many know that's in the Bible? In the world you have trouble. That's in the Bible. In other words, only in the world do you have trouble. That's it. This is where all the troubles come from. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In other words, it's nothing to me. I'm God. Jesus is God. He's Son of God, Son of Man, but He is God, truly, truly. And so since He said that, you could have faith in that. You could say, if that's true, then I could be happy from this day forward. For the rest of my life, I could be happy. I could be just like Pastor Jim and Pastor David and Pastor Jeff and Pastor my David, David Borchert. You know, those people are always happy. Pastor Danny. Why? Because you can be happy all the time. We meet in our living room every week, the deacons, the elders of the church, and pray for this church. And, you know, it's serious. It's so serious that you're going to hear the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, 14th chapter, I want to read what it's going to say. This is a powerful chapter. It's one of my favorites. I say that of all Scripture, but this is one of my favorites. Do not let your hearts be troubled. How many have a troubled heart? No, you don't. You don't. You don't have a troubled heart. Your heart has no troubles. Because Jesus Christ, by faith, you don't have to see it. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to understand it. Just say it. I'm not troubled. My heart is not divided. I have no troubles in my life. Everything's going my way. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-a. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. You can wake up that way in the midst of your troubles. That is a spiritual that was sung by slaves in this country, and they made up that word zippity-doo-da. They invented that word. But it actually means, no matter what happens to me, I'm not interested in earth, I'm interested in heaven. My whole focus is on what's to come, which I haven't yet seen. My hope is in the future, not in the present. My hope's in the past that Jesus died for me, forgave my sin. Now it's in the present where He's changing me, but it's in the future where I'll receive eternal life. You haven't received it yet. You have it in your heart, but you don't have it in your soul, and you don't have it in your life yet. But you will someday, because Jesus began a good work. He will surely complete that work. So this scripture starts out about troubled hearts, because Jesus wants your hearts to be happy all the time. Could I hear, just do this by faith, amen. Amen. Just do it by faith, amen. He wants me to be happy all the time, every day, every second of every day. How many know that's impossible? Because something will come up and disturb it and trouble you. And you think it's your heart, it's just your soul. It's not your heart. Your heart is fixed. Your heart is fixed. You need to fix it based on the Word, not based on that you believed it. You don't have to work up believing. I hope I believe in that. I think that I don't. I would need a rhema on that. You don't need a rhema for anything. I know that's a big teaching here, but it just comes when you don't work at it. Don't look at it. Just relax, be yourself, and let Jesus do it all. How many know that Jesus can do it all? He can do things that you can't do, and that's, He kind of specializes in that. Kind of. Meaning, you can't do what you can't do, but He can do what you can't do. That's His specialty, because that's what God is. That's what God is. That's what, to be a God, you have to do that. You have to do miracles and signs and wonders and all kinds of things, just all for my benefit, all for my benefit. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-a. Woo-hoo! Thank you. I got one response. Thank you, Jesus. You keep coming. 40 years, you're just starting. Because the best is yet to come. Amen. You haven't tasted the new wine in the heavens. The new wine in the heavens is not like anything on earth. There is no wine produced by California or by, you know, the big wine things all over Europe and so on and so forth. No, that's not new wine. The new wine is something you've never tasted before. Nobody has ever tasted it. But Jesus even said after the Last Supper, I won't drink of this fruit of the vine until I drink it anew with you in the kingdom of God, up in the air. And as soon as He comes back, the minute He comes back after the tribulation, the second He comes back, boom, it's over. Then immediately you'll be raptured up. Let's speak about rapture. The rapture is not pre-trib, post-trib, that kind of trib. It's just simply the rapture is just the signal for Jesus to come down, and then vengeance is His only agenda. However, before He does that, He has to deliver His bride. He has to marry His bride. And His marriage of the bride is when He first time drinks the wine from heaven, which is better than wine from earth. Of course, that's spiritual. That's spiritual. Did you know that? Because everyone there will be happy. This wedding will really be a celebration, not just, you know, a promise that often isn't kept. How many know in America, there are a lot of people that, you know, if they can't stand their mate, especially they can't stand the fact that they don't like themselves when their mate does something that they don't like. Did you hear what I just said? So, in other words, I hate what you did, but I don't like myself hating you like what you did, and that makes me hate myself for what you did. And so on. You get all screwed up, messed up. Always stay with the wife of your youth. Always stay with the wife of your youth. That's amazing. I mean, today everybody, you know, everybody's thinking of it. Gee, if this doesn't work, I'll try something else. I wouldn't do that. First of all, it's total violence for all the children that you did have or could have. It's violent, and they never get over it until they receive a new person. a new creation. Children don't understand that. How can you do it that way? You're their mother, you're their father, and they don't understand that. So the first thing I said to my own biological father is, I love you. I didn't say anything about his mafia background and so on and so forth. I didn't say anything about that. I didn't bring anything up because God said, no, just love him. Don't ever bring up his religion or his lack of religion. Don't bring anything up. So I didn't. And have a wonderful time because he cried. I mean, he cried because he didn't know he had a son. It was a one-night stand, so he was gone the next day, came over to the house, and grandmother, you know, said, oh, no, she's in Virginia or something like that. She blew him off because they didn't want to marry into a mafia family. And so, you know, they handled that. But you know what? Your father, whoever he is, I had three of them, but whoever they are, they're to be loved just as they are. And I just had three times that I ever saw him. First time, loved him. Second time, we both told our stories to each other. It was powerful. And the last time, he was on the deathbed. And I saw him. I was here in Dallas. Little note was given to me. Your father's dying. Come now. He won't make it through the night. I prayed. God, I will keep preaching or I'll go, but it depends on what you say to me. But before you say, I want to say something to you. I would like to meet him, and so keep him alive, and then I'll go tomorrow morning. And so I felt God saying, that doesn't mean that I knew it, I just believed it. But I did. I believed it. I believed God would answer my prayer. And I want 20 minutes for him. I explained myself very clearly. 20 minutes, stone, you know, off the all the meds and he's on the tubes. And I want to just speak to him. And if you're on morphine and all that kind of stuff, and he was, then he is doped out. He just can't talk to you. I'd like them to be in pain when I talk to them. How many know that if you're sick, he had all kinds of disease and stuff. If you're sick, you just want to have pain relief. That's all medicine is. I'll say that again. That's all medicine is, pain relief. It's not really curing you. Curing comes from God. Yeah. Did you hear what I just said? Yeah. So if you omit God out of the equation, you're not going to get very far. Because God wants you to know he can heal or deal with anything that you face, whether it's money, whether it's relationships, whether it's, you know, disease or whatever. He can heal with anything. He loves to do that. That's one of his favorite things. Call on me. He's waiting there by the phone and no one's answering. I think they must not be in trouble down there. Because we only call on God when we're really desperate. Otherwise, we just say prayers that really don't reach the ceiling and they come back. When you want to reach God, you have to be desperate. And most people are not. Most people do not want to die or be in trouble or look at their sins. They don't realize that God hates sin, but he loves sinners. Praise God for you, Walter. He loves you just the way you are. He loves you exactly the way you are. Doesn't want you to change. All the change takes place with him. He acts on earth as it is in heaven. When he does that, it's powerful. You cannot now limit God because God is unlimitable. He can do anything he wants, any way he wants. Now, how many know that in the end times, he not only will win over the devil and the flesh and the world and so on and so forth, he'll not only win over them, but they will, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Everyone. So we win. So that's good to know. You need to finish with the future so you can live in the present. You need to live in the future that, oh yeah, we win. And if you don't have that and you're not happy today, you missed it. So I want you to say, I'm happy from now on. You know, I'll be happy now. You said it that way. I'll be happy. It makes me mad, but I'll be happy. You have to be happy every single day. How many know everything is going your way?
Amen.
Everything. Everything is going your way. There's never been a bad day, never been a bad economy, never been anything bad. This world is not in charge. God controls everything. And he has to give his approval. Remember, Satan had to come to him and say, hey, just remove the hedge around him and he'll curse you to your face. It's okay, okay, go ahead. Only one thing. Don't take his life, but, you know, do all the other stuff you want to do. He lost all his wealth, reputation, children, grandchildren. He lost everything. But especially, and he didn't know this, he lost his religion. Religion. It's not the same thing as a relationship. When he was done, he had a relationship with the living God.
Amen.
Because God came down man to man. That's what Jesus is all about. He's the man that came down in a whirlwind and introduced himself to. He was the creator. The creator is not just the Father, all three of them. The Redeemer is not just the Son, all three of them. The Perfecter is not just the Comforter. He's not just the One. He has all of them. They all participated in everything that's going on because they always agree. Aphrodite doesn't agree with Hermes or Mars. They just like people. Because why? Because they're people. They're nothing but concepts. They're nothing but humanism. Fast at work to try to avoid the guilt that's in them. What is life except guilt reduction to the average person? But to this church, joy unspeakable, full of glory. It's amazing. I'm describing what the Bible says. I'm describing you, not telling you what you ought to do or need to do. You can't do it. It's just a gift. And the minute you stop striving, God works. The minute you strive, he quits. Say, well, I'll wait till you're done. I'll wait till you're finished. I'll wait till you've done all the good things you want to do and all the bad things you want to do. How many know God is just waiting for people and Christians, I'm talking about Christians, waiting for you not to help them out? You've learned that, brother. Don't help him out because he doesn't need any help. He likes to do it. He likes to have thanks. That's what he likes. Enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. You know, that's how you start. That's the foundation. That's chair 4. Then chair 5 is the testing, and you'll get an A+. Why? Because you don't do the foundation, and you don't do the building, and you don't do the purpose of the thing, what takes place in that building. You don't do anything. You just let God do everything. To God be the glory. How many know God wants to be glorified, magnified, exalted? He wants all that stuff. Why? Because he's the only one that is. He am. You am not until you're a Christian. Now you am. So you're am in the heart. Now you need to be am in the soul so that you can be am in the body. Spirit, soul, body. All three. And it's always all three. So here's how it goes. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Say it. My heart won't be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. He's talking to his believers. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. That's the word. Many dwelling places. But if it were not so, I would have told you. In other words, God is always on your side. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God's on your side, then you know everything's going to go well. Every day is a celebration. Every day is thank you. Because you didn't do anything. It's just like children. Unless you become as a little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You cannot. You have to be a little child that doesn't interfere with your parents. They want to give you the clothing. They want to give you the food. They want to give you everything. They want to give everything to you. And little kids just go around skipping because they don't even know what's going on, you know. And they're just having fun, and they don't know any rules or laws, especially the little kids, unless you become like a little child. Because they totally depend on their parents. They don't even know the language you're talking. That takes them about a year to learn. And then after that, they have to learn, dishes and stuff like that. I remember that third father. He had that chore. You got demerits if you didn't do what he said. Yeah. Then you got a spanking if you did too many not doings. And then he took away your allowance too. So I hated him. I despised him. I looked down on him and I said to my sister, I'm never going to call him dad. Not my dad. I didn't even know I had three, but I later learned that. Oh yeah, well that was not your dad, and that was not your dad, and there's another one. Another one? Wow. I hope he doesn't want to make a loan on me or something like that. Because he must be a scoundrel. If he's my dad, he has to be a scoundrel. Reflecting me. I knew if my dad, whoever he is, he's going to be a loser. Do you ever meet anyone like you and you don't like them?
Yeah.
I mean, they're just like you. And so when I heard my dad's story, it was like amazing. It was like amazing to hear his story. It's like, wow, I'm just like him.
Amen.
All that mafia stuff and getting, you know, your hands beaten with the ruler from the nuns, yeah, and so on. That's interesting. We're kind of alike. I realize this is my dad. This is my dad. God has rigged everything in this world for you to be happy every day. So, Walter, are you happy?
Yes.
What for?
Just
after
Jesus.
Because of Jesus. Yeah. That's the answer right there. I always taught my kids when they grew up, if I ask you a question and you don't know the answer, just say Jesus. I always accept that. So whatever happens, if you don't know, just say Jesus. And that worked because they learned how to do that. Dad, I know you said that, but Jesus, I talked to Jesus and he said I could do it. So I taught them how to do it. So they're all lawyers now. Because they learned right away that I told them the truth. We never lied to them. We never lied to them. We did not lie to them. Just told them the truth. The devil controls this world. He's the god of this world. So don't be naive. It's the way it is. Right?
Yes.
You have to teach your children that. You don't want to mess with the devil because he can take you. That devil is so smart, and Jesus made him just smart enough to deceive us, but not smart enough to deceive God.
Amen.
So the devil is not a competitor at all. He's just a creature. And anytime God wants to, boop, he's gone. And he will do that someday. So this is what the Bible says. I'm getting to the sixth verse. I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I am coming again. There it is, right there. I'm going to come back a second time. And I will receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So now we are am. We have the same life God had. Same. And the minute Jesus comes back a second time, the am will be something we can see. Everyone can see it. You'll actually, when you say you love somebody, you'll actually not be a hypocrite. You love them. And you could start that today. If you were happiness, you'd be holy. I'm going to say that again. If you were happy, you'd be holy. Because happiness always leads to holiness. Now, you're thinking I'm saying happiness. But when I'm saying happiness, I don't mean happiness. I mean happiness. That I'm happy because of God forgiving me of my sin. And so all my happiness is in Him. Happy for things in this world? Vain. Man at his best state is altogether total vanity. Nothing. So there is no such thing as man at his best state because there is no such thing as man who can do anything but sin. And sin is what we inherited from Adam and Eve. And that sin has ruined humanity, and everyone's born that way. You're not only born of sin, you're actually conceived of sin. That's what it says. In sin did my mother conceive me, King David said. In sin did my mother conceive me. That's just not saying that. He's saying that everyone born of woman is going to be a sinner. And he's talking about Eve. I'm talking about Eve. And so everyone born of woman, and only John escaped that. Jesus said of John the Baptist, he's born of woman, but this is the greatest prophet ever. Wow, what did he do? He didn't do that much. He just baptized people in the river and their sins were forgiven or something like that. But he didn't do a lot, but he introduced Jesus. That's a big deal. That's bigger. Do you understand what I'm saying? Anyone born of woman, everyone's born of woman after Adam and Eve. Cain was born of woman. Abel was born of woman, and so on. The only way you can get out of that is to believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Let's say you're trying hard to do it, you won't do it. If you try hard, you won't do it. The only thing you can do with trying hard is confess that you can't do anything by trying hard. That's the only thing you can say is, I try hard to be happy, and I don't know, everything always goes wrong. That's because of wicked people. No, it's not. It's because of people. It's just not for wicked people. Wicked people don't do anything. The Democrats, they're fine. There's sinners who are open about it. Even though they play the pious thing. All people do that. All people pretend like they're pious when they're not. Nobody's pious. That's not a gift of the Spirit. I'm better than you are. Did you ever say that when you were a kid? Oh, I'm better than you are. You can swear on a stack of Bibles, a billion stacks of Bibles. It won't make any difference because nobody's going to find out until you go to heaven. And then one is in hell and one is in heaven, then you won't find out. I wish so-and-so were here because he was wrong. How many know life is just a fun thing when Jesus is in your life? It's fun. Fun being a Christian because everything's going my way. Jeff, is that true? Absolutely. That's powerful. Once you get that and that's solid, nobody can take it away. Even the devil and the world and flesh and so on wants to attack you. Let's say you were facing death today. This could be my last day. It's not going to be my last day, but it could be. So if it is, I laugh. I've already prepared for that. I died long ago. The minute I became a Christian, I died. The second I became a Christian, I knew life stinks. And so anything you plan, it might fall apart.
Amen.
You can plan on something and it doesn't happen. How many know you're not in control? You're not in control. Somebody else is in control, and that person likes you. That's God. God likes you, and He wants you to be blessed. Anybody can have that at any time. So you're hearing the truth that will set you free forever. Let's read the next verse. This is powerful, and then we'll end. That you may be wherever I am, and where I go, you know. And the way you know, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. I emphasize the word, the definite article, the. In the Greek, when you read the, it means, and there is no other. I am the way, and there ain't any other. I am the truth, and there ain't no other. I am the life, and there ain't no one else to give you life except me. The Father assigned him to that. The Father assigned him to that. This is what you're going to do. I am thought of as holy, giving the law to everybody else. But I want the holiness of God to be mitigated, to be conditioned, to be not the holiness that kills, but the holiness that shows mercy. I want that. So that then when they're judged, they'll get a good judgment. So when you go to heaven, and you're going to go soon, when you go to heaven, you don't need to worry about what you're going to say, because Jesus already did it. So you can go there and look at gum on the floor while you're sitting before the judge's bench there. There's some gum here. You want to go to hell or something? Stop. Look at God. Look there. I won't have to. I can even look at the gum, even throw it at God if I want to. Because he loves me. I'm his child. I'm sorry to have to scandalize you like that. But I know that's what I would do in my old person. I would notice something no one else noticed. Because aren't we brilliant? Yeah. Are not all of us brilliant? We're brilliant. I hope you don't sin on the way there. I'll watch what the others do. Try to follow. See the ones that go to the left or the right. I think the left is the bad thing. I think I want to go on the right. Because it seems like those are nicer people. No, you can't not trick God. You cannot deceive God. God knows everything. He knows your heart. And he wants you to be blessed every second of every minute of every day. Woohoo! Is that going to be you, Suzanne? Every minute of every second of every day? By faith. Yeah, you don't see it yet, but someday you will. You don't need to see it. You just say it by faith.
Just say it by faith.
But I tell you, that works out. It works out. I'm telling you, he doesn't want any sincerity. Sincerity is not a gift to the Spirit. He was sincere. God doesn't want you to be sincere. He's sincere. And any sincerity that you have, it's a gift to God. Jesus is sincere. He is truthful. He is, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And there ain't no other. There's no other way you could get to God except God is good.
Amen.
So it's about to be over. And Clay, would you close in prayer?